Thank you, Michael. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. And, David, a long time since you and I played mucking around in the schoolyard at Devonport High School. And, you seem to have come a long way. Just recently, David appointed to the officiating advisory group for Hockey Australia. That must be a big feather in your cap.
It's a feather in your cap, but it's also it's a bit of responsibility. You're trying to put together panels of umpires for national championships. You're looking at technical officials for those national championships. You're having a lot of interaction with the state bodies, with their officiating groups to see how they're travelling. You're even looking at future international umpires, seeing where they're tracking and what opportunities you can try and find them for overseas tournaments and that sort of thing. COVID's really been an issue from Australia trying to get away to different events around the world. And some of us mentors on this officiating group were actually been assigned a few umpires to look after or whatever to try and keep them sharp for when they do go to international tournaments. Some of the umpires that are already in that on that scene or whatever. So it is really hard with the way with COVID. Our international umpires are not being exposed as much as what they should be. With our borders closed at times and. So hopefully with some improvement down the track, we can start to see a few more of our international start to get back out on the world scene again, which would be really good.
Yeah, rich history of hockey in this state. We've had so many outstanding players. We'll come back to that as we roll through. But, David, hockey goalkeeping has been your main go, etc. And how early did you get stuck into playing hockey? Because it's a sport that has really taken off in the modern day. But back in the day when you and I were going to school, it maybe never had the high profile that it does right now. Well, how did you first get into it?
I originally started off playing a little bit of junior footy. Back in the late primary school days, and I had a mate who played hockey, and he said, "Dave, why don't you come along and have a bit of a run round?" So, Mum wasn't overly happy with it all. She said, "Oh, that hockey, oh, that's dangerous, you know, you get hit with sticks and flying balls and all that sort of thing." So, it took me probably 12 months to work Mum around, but eventually, when I got into grade 6 of primary school, eventually she let me have a bit of a crack. And it was just fortunate at the time that they were looking for a goalkeeper. So I decided, oh, well, they need somebody between the posts. So I threw all these old cricket pads and sort of half kickers sort of thing. And it sort of it took off from there. So, yeah, so that's where it all started.
So you had about 15 to 17 years in the sport, played a bit of indoor and outdoor. Tell us about those years, 15 to 17 years. Must have been a nice ride for you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was probably very lucky that in the first year I played in the net, I made a state junior side, and it just sort of, it all catalyst from that, you know, from then for... That was in the mid-70s and then right through until probably around 1990 or whatever. It was sort of indoor during the summer, and then it was field hockey during the winter. So it was, for me, once again, fortunate that I was able to play both sports. They do both sports carry a hockey stick, but indoor is a little bit different played in the basketball stadium. But basically, being able to play hockey 12 months of the year, it just gave me a little bit of an edge on some of the guys that were only playing field. So that sort of worked out really well. And as time went on, I worked my way through the juniors, through 21s, and then up into the seniors. I was lucky enough at the second last year of my 21s, I was picked to play with Australian under 21s, and we went to Junior World Cup in Malaysia. And where we were lucky enough to get through to the final, we lost to Germany. Germany at that stage were really the benchmark of world hockey, junior and senior. So we'd done a pretty good job to get to that stage. And we gave them a run for their money, but I think from memory we ended up losing 4-1 to them. But we were so pleased that, you know, the country that was sort of outside mainstream Europe were able to get to the stage where they could play in a final. So I've had a... I've had a pretty lucky ride. I've been pretty lucky with not a lot of injuries, and that goalkeepers tend to at times with, in the early days, there was a lot of inferior gear, so you did get hit a lot and it hurt. Mm. But you worked your way through that. And over the years, as time went on, the equipment got a lot better, so you were a lot more protected. But as time goes on, the old injuries seem to pop up every now and again.
What was the worst one that you had as far as injury was?
A lot of my peers and that, you know, they were doing knees and broken hands and things like that because of the gear. But about the worst thing I ever had was I broke a couple of fingers in trying to stop a shot. But apart from that, I probably hurt myself more umpiring than I ever did playing, which is very strange. But I was really lucky as far as injuries go. Some of the injuries, some of the other guys received, sometimes that put them out for two or three seasons with knee injuries and that sort of thing. But I was really lucky in that respect that I didn't receive a lot of injuries. Probably more luck than anything, I think.
Running backwards, umpiring and falling over or something, David, was it? How would you hurt yourself in umpiring? What is it, just mainly muscular or what?
It probably wasn't that long after I retired. I was in at a tournament in Perth and you're running down the field to try and get to the best position for the next passage of play. And I didn't tear a hamstring, but I gave the hamstring a pretty good tweak. And basically from then on in, that was in the mid-90s, from then on in through my whole umpiring career, I had to just be a little bit aware that I'd had a hamstring injury. What else have I done? I rolled my ankle down at Devonport one day, but because I didn't roll my ankle square, I rolled on about a 45-degree angle, and all of a sudden I heard this real sort of click, and I thought, that doesn't feel good. It didn't sound good. And then that was halfway through the first half. By the beginning of the second half of the game, I could hardly walk. So I said to my poor co-umpire, mate, you're going to have to get somebody else. I can't walk. Anyway, what I'd actually done was snapped a bone halfway down the side of my foot. Of course, you couldn't roll over and stretch the tendons. The angle I rolled on it was basically it had to break a bone to release that rolling of the ankle. But apart from that, it hasn't been too bad. Well, of course, you always, you roll ankles and that sort of thing sometimes. I mean, I've always been a bit prone to that with ankle injuries and that sort of thing. But mostly, I've been pretty lucky, really, even with the umpiring.
And as you said, you'd do it all again in a heartbeat.
I'd do it in a heartbeat, Michael, in a heartbeat.
Dave, stick with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your story. My special guest is David Saunders, who has just recently been appointed to the Hockey Australia Officiating Advisory Group. Back shortly. Welcome back to the Sideline View. Michael Maney with you until 6 o'clock this evening. My special guest is David Saunders. David has been such a huge part of hockey in this state. An international referee has done so many good things for the sport. And David, we were saying before the break about injuries, etc., and you do it all again. And you had... You had your 15 to 17 years in the sport playing. You took 12 months off, and then that started a 20-year umpiring career. What made you want to do that? Was it just to give something back to the game?
I'd always enjoyed umpiring, even from a young bloke. As a young fellow, the seniors always encourage you to do a bit of reffing to make you understand or help you understand the game a little bit better. So I had a little bit of an interest on the sideline. I've been lucky enough when I was playing at the reasonable level, I also did a fair bit of reffing at home, and I'd done okay at that. And then once I decided it was time today to hang up the boots and hand the reins to somebody else, I had 12 months out of the game, and then I really started to miss the adrenaline rush of being at an Australian championship. And I didn't really want to coach, but then I thought, well, what else can I do to stay involved at this level? So I thought, well, I don't mind umpiring. So anyway, I started my umpiring when I was 29, 30, which normally should be towards the end of your career. But because I'd been reasonably, been through a few state sides and made a few indoor Australian squads and been to an under-21 World Cup, they sort of looked as me as a somebody they could probably accept as an older umpire and try and fast track me through the system, and that's what ended up happening. I basically went to an under 15 tournament just to see whether Dave did have it or not, and he must have done okay. So then they fast-tracked me away from 18 straight into 21s. And then that's field hockey. And then basically from then on in, there was opportunities then to umpire at the senior tournaments and that around the country. And I spent a few years doing that. Once again, from an umpiring point of view, compared to my playing days, I was lucky enough to be able to umpire 12 months of the year. Like when I played, I could play indoor and play field hockey 12 months a year. Well, it's the same with umpiring. I could umpire field during the winter, and then when indoor came along, I'd go in and umpire indoor. And I was lucky enough to get some opportunities through both passages of the game, and that just gave me, you know, just a bit more experience. I was lucky enough to, for indoor, I went to an indoor World Cup in Vienna in the late 2000s. I was an international when I went there, but then I was promoted to a Grade 1 international. That opened up a few more tournaments for me in my mid-40s or whatever. FIH umpires, international umpires, have to retire at 47. So I didn't really come onto the international scene, to the World Cup, until I was 44. So really, even that was sort of a bit unusual, because I was really, you know, only 3 years away from having to retire internationally. They gave me an opportunity, and once again, lucky enough to impress the people that be. And then for 3 years, I sort of had a few tournaments in Asia, and which was really good. I think probably after the World Cup, you know, looking at the other umpire, when I first went there, I was sort of, oh, is Dave Saunders really up to this? You know, this is the pinnacle of indoor hockey in the world. It's a World Cup. But after having ref for two or three games, I started to look around, and, you know, and I was making a few, you know, correct decisions, that sort of thing, and a few people that were coaching were saying, you know, you're going okay, Dave. And then all of a sudden I started to think, I think I can handle this. And then for the next 3 years, I did get some appointments overseas, and I only really had 3 years internationally, but I really wish I'd have been lucky enough to have come on the scene a lot earlier, because I think I had a lot to offer, and maybe if things had gone my way, I might have umpired a little bit more internationally. But at the end of the day, that's what it was, and once again, I wouldn't swap it for the world. It was another period of my career that I always look back on with fond memories.
Is there a game or a tournament, Dave, that you umpired in that just stands out from anything else, with just the sheer quality of the play?
Probably. I was lucky enough at the World Cup. I didn't umpire in the semis, but I umpired the playoff for 5th and 6th. And that was a bit of a highlight. It was a sensational game. I think, Michael, the indoor and field hockey, indoor's always been the poor cousin of field hockey. Indoor hockey is an absolutely sensational game. Go to the World Cup overseas, and there's 10,000 people in a stadium. They've got bells, whistles, clackers. They're making it's an actual show,
yeah.
You know, and it's the greatest show on earth. Yet we struggle here in Australia at times to recognise that this game, the indoor hockey game, is such a magnificent game. The problem we have is that not all the Australian field hockey players are allowed to be involved in indoor hockey because of the schedule that our national teams have at field. In Europe, because of the fact that it's a winter game, indoor hockey, basically what happens is they play field right up until probably Christmas time. It snows like the Dickens over there. They go indoor for 3 months, back in March, April, so they go back and they finish off their field season. So those guys, because of where they live, they have to play indoor. If you look at the international players that come from out of Europe, quite a few of those really good ones play both games, and you can tell who plays indoor and who doesn't, because the skill set that you have to have in indoor hockey, because you're in such a confined space at times, has to be really good, and that equates to field hockey. Now, the field Australian players basically left indoor hockey in the late 80s, early 90s, and that was when Australia was absolutely dominating field hockey around the world. They left the game. The game did deteriorate a little bit because of the lack of having those Australian players playing, but it has lifted a bit now to to Australian men at the Indoor World Cup recently, in the last couple of years, they made the semi-finals. For an Australian team to make a semi-finals in Indoor World Cup in Europe is absolutely the pinnacle of all indoor, is absolutely sensational for our country. And that was great too, because people started to look at indoor in a little bit different way, that, hey, perhaps we can try and incorporate into field somewhere. So hopefully that sort of mindset continues, because both games can interact together in a really great way.
And you were a goalkeeper, as we all know, and you're now got an opportunity to manage umpires and refs and all that sort of thing. You keep your eye on up-and-coming goalkeepers, and I know you're very passionate about... I know when you started, you didn't have anyone really to hone your skills as a goalkeeper, but can you keep an eye on that as you go along?
Oh, yeah, look, there's always that little bit in the back of me that from where I came from, and my introduction to the game was between the posts, and it's very rarely at a tournament that I won't be spending a little bit of time, even in the warm-ups, when the goalkeepers are doing their drills before the game. You know, you're watching your umpires out there coaching them, but you always have that warm feeling inside when a goalkeeper makes an absolutely magnificent save that you think, there's no way he should have got to that. But they did. And, I won't say I'm as heavily involved with the keeping as what I used to be, but I still have a bit of a soft spot for that spot. And there's some really good goalkeepers around the country at the moment that are outstanding.
Dave, we've got some fantastic umpire managers in this state. Can you just embellish a bit and let us know who they are and what they do and how good you think they are?
We have Tassie hit well and truly above their weight with umpire managers. We probably have four umpire managers in Tassie that basically do regular tournaments during the field season. I mean, the standout umpire manager for me is Minka Woolley. I mean, she's an Olympic umpire manager. She's done that for two or three times now. She's been to the Olympics as a referee and umpire. She is in the top four or five in the world, if not the number one umpire manager in the world. She's just absolutely sensational. We've got Colin Pearson in Launceston, who's been a regular umpire manager now and a state coach as well. We have Lorraine Smith, who comes from Devonport. She is very heavily involved in some of our junior Australian championships and a very good mentor to some of our young ones. It's just sensational. It's not, you know, sometimes Tassie might get one or two if they're lucky at these sort of events. But when we have four that are getting regular gigs every year, that says a lot about what the hierarchy think about our people, which is really good for Tassie. It's great to stick the Tassie cap on and be able to talk about these people.
Dave, it's super important that you have support when you get on this journey, and I guess a lot of people have done so much for you, particularly your family.
Yes, that's right, Michael. Look, I don't think there's any sportsman on the planet, whatever sport they play, when they've been on the scene for a long time, there's probably been a lot of sacrifices that families have had to make to keep you and to move you where you need to go. And I can't thank my wife and my children enough, because there's been a lot of family holidays over the years that, you know, where's Dad? Oh, Dad's gone to a tournament here, Dad's gone to a tournament there. Oh, he's overseas reffing, or, you know, he's playing overseas or whatever. I've got to say a big thank you to my family, because without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And, you know, I owe them a great deal of gratitude for the sacrifices they made for me. So they've been great.
Dave, thanks for coming on the program. You've been fantastic for the sport in Tasmania, also internationally represented us so well. Really good to have you on the Sideline View on a Saturday afternoon on 7AD and 7BU. Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it, mate.